And welcome to another California Guy Radio Show. What's up, everybody? This is your host, Cali Guy. I don't want to say Coles. Ain't no Coles. But, yeah, this is your host, Cali Guy. What's up, everybody, on this Sunday afternoon? It's 5 o'clock. The Seahawks just won. A whole bunch of stuff is going on this week in pop culture and current events this week. Welcome to the show, Cali Guy, Open Radio Hour. So this is the open show. So feel free to call in if anybody has anything to say. Call in. But I have some stuff that I'm going to go over this week. There's some pop culture news and current events. This week was the announcement of the Academy Awards nominations of this past week. And so I'm going to go over some of the movies. Oh, I forgot to give us a time. It's 5 o'clock p.m. West Coast time. East Coast time is 8 o'clock p.m. So 5 West Coast. So, you know, I'll just have to give that. That's my signature right there. And it's the 18th, Sunday the 18th again. So I have to break all this down before I get started in my show. And, you know, we're going to talk about a few things this week, some upcoming movies coming out, a little bit of politics, a little bit of everything this week we're going to talk about. And then we'll go over the Oscar nomination in just a bit. So I'm just sitting here chilling out. And I don't know if anybody's caught the game today. I think the Seahawks are going to repeat what they did last year. They kicked the Green Bay Packers' ass, literally, and beat the shit out of them. So, you know, the Seahawks is a good team. So they just keep kicking ass. Congratulations to the Seahawks for their good win and comeback. I thought they were going to lose, by the way. Let me get to some little news and tidbits real quick. Let me go over some entertainment news. This week was a Kevin. I think American Sniper came out this week, too. Crushed the box office numbers. I'm going to go over that in a second. I'm trying to get some websites going. I don't know if anybody's seen American Sniper. I do want to see that myself. And let me see. On here, I hate to do it. I am people to know I am multitasking. So that's how it is on Cali Guy Radio. You know, we multitask a lot. So, you know, I've kind of had my notes ready fast so I could go. Because I don't want to get anything wrong. You know, a lot of motherfuckers do radio shows and it gets wrong. And so I'm trying to be on point when I talk and I won't forget what the fuck I'm saying. So let me get to 2015 Academy Award nominations, courtesy of cinemablend.com. People, check this site out. It is to the site. Okay, so this week was a big announcement for pop culture news and movie news. Academy Award nominations this week, unfortunately. And you have some nominations for different movies that's coming out this week. And I know for sure one movie in particular, we're going to go over Best Picture. We're going to break this down this hour. What movies deserve to be in and which ones deserve not to be in there. So let's get started. Okay, for Best Picture, American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, Whiplash, Best Actor, Steve Carell for Foxcatcher, Bradley Cooper for American Sniper, Benedict Cumberbatch for The Imitation Game, Michael Keaton for Birdman, Eddie Redmayne, The Theory of Everything, Best Actress, Marine Calatra, 2 Days, 1 Night, Theory of Everything, Julianne Moore, Still Alice, Rosetta Pike, Gone Girl, Reese Witherspoon, Wild, Best Supporting Actor, Robert Duvall, The Judge, Ethan Hawke, The Boyhood, Edward Norton, Birdman, Mark Ruffalo, Foxcatcher, J.K. Simmons, Whiplash, Best Supporting Actress, Patricia Arquette, Boyhood, Laura Dern, Wild, Keira Knightley, The Imitation Game, Emma Stone, Birdman, Meryl Streep, Into the Woods, The Private, Best Director, Wes Anderson, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Alejandro Gonzalo, in Iñárritu, Birdman, Richard Linklater, Boyhood, Bennett Miller, Foxcatcher, Morden Tatum, The Imitation Game, Best Adapted Screenplay, American Sniper, Jason Hall, The Imitation Game, Graham Moore, Inherit Vice, Paul Thomas Anderson, The Theory of Everything, Anthony McCarton, Whiplash, Daniel Chazella. Best Original Screenplay, Birdman, or The Unexpected Virtual Innocence, Alejandro G. Inarritu, Nicholas G. Corcuera, Alexander Daenerys Jr., and Armando Bo. Boyhood, Richard Linklater, Foxcatcher, E. Max Spy, and Dan Fletcher. The Grand Budapest Hotel, Wes Anderson, and Hugo Guinness. Nightcrawler, Dan Gilroy. Best Animated Feature, Big Hero 6, The Box Trolls, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Son of the Sea, Tale of the Princess Kagu. Best Foreign Picture, Best Foreign Animated Film, Ida Leviathan, Tangerous Documentary Feature, Citizen 4, Finding Vivian Nile, Last Day of Vietnam, The Salt of the Earth, and Virgo. Best Production Design, The Grand Budapest Hotel. Hush, I don't give a fuck about that. For the time, I don't care about this shit, so I'm going to skip down. I don't give a fuck about all that, so, you know. I'll have to kiss my ass. I'm not going to read that whole shit. You know, shit off, so. Okay, let me get to the meat real quick. Best Animated Short, The Bigger Picture, Daisy Jacobson, Christopher Hayes, The Damn Keeper, Robert Kondo, and Dice Sumani, Steve Patrice Osborne, and Christopher Reed, Me and My Moulton, Terrell Cole, and A Single Life, Jordan. Hey, these are all foreign, big letters right here. Quick. So a lot of these are foreign things. Okay, let me get some callers in real quick. You know, I read these off. I know it took a long time to do all these multitasking. Hey, K1, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on with you, Chief? Happy New Year to you. No,
Happy New Year. That's the first 2015 show, by the way, everybody. So, yeah, I was just going over the Academy nominations. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, I was going over that, and I was looking at, you know, let me go over some stuff with you. I'm glad you're on the line, because me and you talk about a lot of the entertainment stuff a lot, and I know when people listen to the California Guy Show, Sport Politics, it's always pretty much, we're talking about comic book stuff, but I was talking about the Oscar, and me and you talk about it probably, a lot of people don't know Cali Guy and K-10 sitting around talk about comic book shit all the time, so. Let me go down a list. That's what you think. Anybody else want to call in is welcome to call in, too. But let me go back up, because I was giving up the nomination. I'll give you a pin about the Oscars this year.
Okay. Well, like always, I'm extraordinarily appreciative for you giving me the platform to express myself in these troubling times.
No problem. No problem.
It's the inaugural show of the year, so I guess we could jump off with saying some interesting things about the Oscar and the debacle that it is.
Exactly.
Funny, I wasn't inebriated. When I seen the nominations, I was very much conscious and sober, and I said to myself, typical Hollywood, typical politics. We've talked about this countless times before, about the underrepresentation when it comes to, mm-hmm. to different genres of films and different ethnic performers. And, you know, listen, again, if this year wasn't a blatant example of that, I don't know what else is. And I'm not impressed with a lot of...
Let me read your thoughts. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, a lot of the nominations, particularly with the major categories, Best Actor, Best Actress, this is probably one of the weakest years I've seen.
I can agree with that.
Years with some deficient nominees. And like I said, a lot of those movies out there I have no interest in it. You know, I don't. You know me. I'm never the one for popular opinion. I try to be. When I dissect films, it's strictly if it does something for me. It's never about what the general consensus is saying. And Birdman seems laughable to me. The theory of everything, I could care less about Stephen Hawking. I mean, I understand he's a brilliant guy, but if I want to see something interesting about Hawking, I'll watch a documentary. I don't need a biofilm about him. And, it just looks laughable because Hollywood with the pretentiousness and the lack of originality is just painting themselves into a corner where less and less people, I mean, even Joaquin Phoenix a couple of years ago was boycotting the Oscars for just, you know, it's a ceremony that really, it doesn't matter. It means the who's who, everybody gets, you get your Meryl Streeps with the same nominations every year, and they're not breaking new ground when it comes to versatility and interestness. And, you know, you got these people that scream for diversity, but, you know, I mean, come on, it's just ridiculous, man. So,
the categories to me, a lot of them, the only one I had interest in sort of
weak.
Yeah, it is weak. Don't get it twisted, it is weak. But the only one I had some interest in was the American Sniper one. But other than that, which Triple Eight, he did a review of my group, by the way, shout out to Triple Eight. That was a very good movie. So, I do want to see that movie.
The only reason I would take that into consideration is because, again, Clint usually delivers, you know, decent film. And, Bradley Cooper, out of all the cesspool of the actors of cesspool of filth that's out there, he's one of the decent ones. And,
let me ask you this. Let's get some good cover real quick. It says here, best supporting actor, Robert Duvall for The Judge, which flopped. Ethan Hawke for Boyhood, President Obama's favorite movie. Mark Ruffalo, Foxcatcher. That's predictable. I kind of thought they would get that. And J.K. Simmons, Whiplash. What do you think about those categories for best supporting actor?
Haven't seen any of the films. Some of them, like you said, were predictable.
Hold on a second. We have another caller on. I have another caller. Let me bring my caller on. Hey, what's going on? 310.
Hey, what's going on? It's Crossfire.
Hey, Crossfire, I knew it was you. I wanted to add some mystery to it. We're just going over the Oscars.
On the show.
Oh, no problem. You know, you guys come on there anytime. Going over these Oscar nominations that happened this week, and I was just telling first of all, what do you think about the nominations? I don't know if you've seen the first half. I was reading it all. Anybody want to call in, they can too. It's a longer show, but it's not going to be 45 minutes. This show's going to be real long. But what do you think about some of these categories? Like I was telling, we were just commenting, like for best supporting actor, you have Robert Duvall for The Judge, Ethan Hawke for Boyhood, Pepper Jones for Birdman, Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher, J.K. Simmons for Whiplash, best actress, Marion Cotillard, whatever the fuck her name is. I'm never gonna watch them anyway. I'm just doing it, you know, just have good conversation at the top. Felicia Jones,
let me comment on that one. Marion Cotillard is a beautiful piece of ass, but I ain't gonna lie. So it's, you know, I just wanna put that on a side note. She's an exquisite looking woman, but I just wanted to finish my commentary on the best supporting actor. I just wanted to summarize real quickly. I'm not impressed with too much of the candidates. The Mark Ruffalo nomination, that was kind of in the basket for the last couple of months. I've heard people talking about it. J.K. Simmons, I'm surprised that Whiplash is getting all of that critical acclaim that it's getting. And a majority of these films, I'll go over it. The only film that's in the best actress category that I've seen, and I gave you guys a quick summary of, was Gone Girl with Rosamund Pike. I did see what she had to offer, but that's that. I mean, the Academy is very unimpressive to me this year. You know, a lot of the actors. a lot of the films. A lot of surprising snubs, too. A lot of the snubs that I think you
should
address.
We'll go over that, too. We're going to cover that in a little bit. We'll go over the snubs, too. You guys break that down. Cross, what do you think about this, what we're talking about?
Well, again, I as far as the Oscars go, I'm not really a huge fan of the Oscars. You know, to me, it's just a bunch of politics into it, and it's not really, I don't know, I just don't think, I think there's stuff that goes on behind the scenes that dictates, you know, they already know who's going to win even before they get the nominations out. So, I mean, for me, you know, from the little bit I've seen, I haven't seen every movie. I have seen American Sniper, and I'm glad it's getting a nomination because it really is one of the best war films, war dramas that I've seen ever from in the past, like, 10 decades. Bradley Cooper, I think that's his best performance. I think he really deserves to win an Oscar. But again, you know, I don't know who. I haven't seen all the movies, so I really can't say that he's better than he gave the best performance out of everybody else. But I will say that, in my opinion, recently I saw a few clips of J.K. Simmons in Whiplash, and I could see why he's being nominated, and I think that if anybody's going to win, I think it's going to be him. I mean, he already won a Golden Globe for it, but I really think that J.K. Simmons is going to win for Best Supporting Actor, and then, you know, I don't know who could possibly win in the other categories. I mean, Best Adapted Screenplay, I think I'm going to give it to American Sniper, I think the movie was good. The movie was really good, and you know, as far as anything else, Best Animated Feature, I'm very surprised that the Lego Movie isn't being nominated. But
You know what? Not to cut you off. But that's what we're care about, the part about Lego snubs, because the Lego Movie, I actually watched that on HBO a few weeks ago. And actually, that was a good little kids' cartoon. If you have kids, people take them to see. It was a fun movie, even though it was Batman dominated. But it still was a fun little cartoon. But they have Big Hero 6 up there. I've seen Big Hero 6 get a nomination. So they got that as number one.
Don't be surprised if Guardians wins, you know, for best visual effects, or, you know, Interstellar. I'm surprised Interstellar. As you know, everybody hyped up that movie. I'm surprised it's not on there for, you know, best.
I know.
Director,
I heard. Yeah, all the hype. Yeah. I. You know what? It's funny that you say that, because all the hype around Interstellar. You would have thought that would have got it for best original. I haven't seen the movie. I've actually read some of the synopsis, but I haven't seen it, so I can't say whether it's good or not. But I would have thought a movie like that would have had best original screenplay. But that's just me personally speaking. But you know. They have these other weird movies. It's like they went artsy this year. It's like they went artsy with a lot of the movies this year. So it looked more artsy than anything else. I agree with Kim on this very week, but keep going with your point, because I thought about what I'm let you guys keep talking about.
The Oscars. The Oscars this year, I mean, they've never been interesting to me anyway. I just watch it. Because even the only reason I watch the Oscars sometimes is there's a movie out there that I really like that I think that I hope gets it, or if it's, you know, it's on TV and I'll have nothing else to do or watch, then I'll watch it. But as far as best actor winning, in my opinion, I think that it'll either go to Michael Keaton Michael Keaton, Steve Carell, or Bradley Cooper. Those three, it'll be one of those three people. I really don't see anybody else other than those three people getting it. Best director, I think will go to the guy who directed either Boyhood or Birdman. And best picture, again, I haven't seen all the movies, and I think that if I had it my way, I would. American Sniper was my best. To me, it's the best movie of 2014. But again, I haven't seen all these movies. I hope to see Whiplash. I hope to see, you know, Birdman and Selma.
Before we go on, let me address the real elephant in the room, because I remember having an interesting discussion last year on social media about the lack of diversity in these categories and in this genre, period, man. We got to talk about that. We got to talk about the abundantly lack of color in these categories. No best actor. I mean, David Oyelowo was a shoo-in maybe a couple of weeks ago to get a surefire nomination for Selma. But, you know, the man didn't even get the recognition that he clearly deserves. I said this last year with, like, Michael B. Jordan and Chiwetel, who I firmly believe should have had the best actor nomination. And I think he gave the most compelling performance of 2013. In my opinion, between him and Leonardo DiCaprio was the two deserving candidates of that award. But, the Oscars is like I said, I don't know how some people could praise the Oscars. And they, again, they go by what the general consensus is saying. They go by all of these would-be film pundits. And they don't question these. They don't question why these films are made. But, you know, what's the ultimate purpose in the long run? And what are they doing in terms of breaking new ground and in terms of versatility in the industry? Because, again, we look at the industry, and, you know, we're men of color. I mean, I think if people don't know by now, we're, you know, all of us here are men of color, you know. And I look at the lack where I feel the criminal underrepresentation of people who, like I said, constantly just trying to either they gave good performances in the past or they continue to get performances now. And if this lack of recognition, it just astounds me, man. I see Meryl Streep is a phenomenal actress. She's a dynamic actress. No, I'm not taking any of that away from her, what she's achieved in the industry. But does she need a nomination every year? I think this is her sixth or seventh consecutive year that she's got nominated. And she doesn't win. I mean, she won, but it's just like, you know, come on, man. And, you know, again, I understand Michael Keaton is having a comeback of the century right now, but is he well-deserving of winning an Academy Award for Birdman? That seems like it's a ludicrous movie to begin with. It's ludicrous. Ludicrous concept. But they're praising it like it's Shakespeare, and it's just laughable to me. So
not to cut you off, but I don't know if you've seen. I don't think all of us here have seen all the movies that have been nominated.
No. But it's just that it's like the way the Academy works. These are the films that matter to the Academy representative. These are the older, quote-unquote, film aficionados. These are the people that have supposedly sophisticated taste in film. Supposedly, because everybody's sensibility with film is vastly different to the next. Now, again, I don't know, as a viewer, what can I get looking at Birdman? Again, could very well be a good film. What can I get from it? Just looking at it, it looks ridiculous. And you mean to tell me a person of color who's playing probably one of the most pivotal icons in human history, I would feel, can't get any kind of recognition, and you're going to, I mean, come on, this is laughable, man.
I'll say this.
The travesty that's continuing, and Hollywood is just, again, for it to say that, you know, I'm not going to name no names, but I hear a lot of people on social media and on, you know, YouTube, a lot of YouTube personalities that's screaming for diversity. But, you know, again, it's like, come on, man. It's just, I don't know.
Well, again, I think that, and you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I agree 100%. But, I mean, and you're right. I mean, having somebody portray, you know, one of the most influential men in the United States in the history of America is, and to have him not be, you know, recognized for that is just astounding to me. It's very, and I'm offended in a sense, but I'm not offended in a sense that they're not recognizing him. More or less, I'm offended of the Academy really only, and I've talked to you guys about this before off the air. When it comes to, getting recognition as far as African Americans, you know, we tend to get recognition for things, for movies that portray us in a bad light. I mean,
but here's the thing. It's not just one aspect. It's not just African Americans. There's other ethnicities again. There's other segments of the film industry, of society. Because when the industry ignores this, they ignore the reality that's in front of them. Because we live in a multicultural, we live in a multifaceted society that's made up about with you know, thousands of ethnicities, man, people in various backgrounds and things. And again, I don't, as a man of color, this is strictly my perspective of watching Birdman, is going to give me any kind of enlightenment. What is that?
Birdman looks more of a technological film because of, you know, the whole thing of them not having, you know, to cut so many times. Everything is continuous.
But I'm talking about the concept, though. What is the meat behind it? Because that's what film is supposed to do. It's supposed to inspire. It's supposed to generate conversation, supposed to generate some kind of thought. What's the meaning behind it? I forget the technical aspect of it. I mean, that's one particular achievement you could look at, but what is the essence of it?
But there's more to winning a Best Picture or a Best Director. All aspects of film.
I'm just saying, again, I haven't seen the film. Maybe people that's listening feel I'm being too harsh about it, but it just looks like a ludicrous kind. It looks stupid. I mean, it looks completely stupid. And it's not taking anything away from Michael Keaton. I think, you know, again, he's a good actor. I never would have thought in a million years he would have had this kind of resurgence where he's, you know, he's on the brink of potentially winning an Academy Award. But still, I just like, you know, really? And, you know, David Oyelowo is shut out for playing, you know, Dr. King. I mean, it just seems like, I mean, Carmen Ejiogo, she got shut out for playing Coretta. And for, you know, I just, come on, these,
well,
me.
Let me throw a counter argument in there to anybody that, like, you know, I feel what you guys are saying. But to be fair, we have not seen Martin Luther King of Selma yet. I haven't seen Selma.
But here's the point I'm trying to stress. And I've talked about this with you gentlemen.
I don't know how.
Every year in the Academy, there's going to be a plethora of European actors, foreign and domestic.
But they got more movies.
The award can acknowledge their own. And my thing is, like, Idris Elba pointed this out about 2 years ago. Here's a guy that's been marked by the industry as the next, quote unquote, the next Denzel Washington. He's delivered continuous performances of just impeccableness, but he just can't get the recognition. Why is that? We know what it is. And again, he just said, listen, the industry is not designed for people of color. I think that's the reality that we have to deal with at the core. And it is what it is. I'm not saying that a person of color can't achieve any kind of success.
Yeah, they've done it.
It can be done, but it's just like, I don't think, should not look at the Academy Award to define or validate them having a real, because the Academy Award means nothing. I mean, you could win that. There's been plenty of people that have been recipients of Academy Awards, and their career actually went down the toilet after that. Then you have those that's parlayed in that into some kind of career of longevity.
Give us some examples real quick, because I want the viewers. A recent example?
Okay, unfortunately,
yeah.
I'm going to name a person of color. A recent example was Octavia Spencer when she won for The Help. Best Supporting, she best, Monique. I think Melissa Leo, that won for The Fighter recently. A couple of actors in the 80s. Look what happened with Ben Affleck after he won an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay with Good Will Hunting. He went down the toilet. Now, again, he's experienced an incredible resurgence recently, but he was technically left for dead in terms
only
of career.
So funny about that? Only because he's directing.
What? Not because he's acting, per se. Exactly.
Yeah, they're going to pick the...
There's been many... I mean, Adrian Brody. Adrian Brody won the Best Actor, you know, back in 2002, I believe, 2003. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. It means that, okay, the Academy recognized you as an elite actor, actress. But it doesn't mean, I mean, in my eyes, that, and I've said this, you know, repetitively with Jennifer Lawrence as being somebody as atrocious. I mean,
well, she's overrated for sure.
Abominable, and she's just disgusting as an actress. I mean, I've seen better acting. I hate to say this, in a Vivid production. I mean, I've seen better acting than a porn actress in Vivid. I'm telling you the truth. That's no lie. If people don't, Axel Braun, one of the best directors that has done porn parodies, he's directed some masterful scenes that's superior to Jennifer Lawrence. That's how abominable her acting is. But she, you know, she can get a break, but a sister like Kimberly Elise or Angela Bassett or so forth, and, I mean, I could go on to Esai Morales. I mean, it's so many people I can name that I feel are incredibly underrated, under the radar when it comes to the terms of talent and precision in their craft. And I get these flavors of the month. And if it wasn't for the benefits of the casting couch, a lot of these actors and actresses would be nobody. I'm sorry. I mean, I hate the one to be split. That's what it is. I mean, when I see Jennifer Lawrence, I see casting couch. When I see, Benedict Cumberbatch, I see casting. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean,
you say a Benedict Cumberbatch?
I mean, you know, listen, he's the flavor of the month, man. He's the flavor of the month. What did he do? What has he done? What has he done? What has he done as an actor to get him to the point where
Hold on. We could say the same thing. Now, I'm not trying to play devil's advocate or nothing like that, but we could say the same thing about some African-American actors out there who are getting way too much recognition, and they're not even, to me, they're not even that talented. And I'm talking about comedians.
This is what I'm trying to say. People that's listening, this is all but my opinions and my opinions only.
I'm curious on that.
Kevin Hart, because I understand what you're saying, and again, you said that it's the politics of Hollywood, and it's not made for African
Americans. I'm saying. Listen, we're not going to go into the conspiracy. Anybody that know the real innards of the Hollywood system, I ain't going to go into, because again, I don't want to step on.
Yeah,
but
yeah, let's say that.
I don't want to get too controversial. But you know where I can go with
that.
We're going to
save that one. Yeah, because we could save that for another time.
But what I'm trying to get at is that, listen, the Hollywood system is notorious for perpetuating myths, because Hollywood itself, it's a dream world. It's a dreamscape, you know, people. And a lot of these actors, like I said, and actresses, to me, the ones that are exalted, the majority of them, are not as good as the machine portrays them. I think that's a farce that's perpetuated for far too long, and people got to break the scales of that. They've got to break the illusion of that.
Let me tell you, the issue is with these movies, is, and I've told you guys this many times, it's the consumers. It's all about the consumers and what they buy and accept. When you're dealing with the Hollywood system, and you know what, too, I even go on the limits, it's run by the critics. The critics sort of make and break these movies.
Right, what are these actors, what are they doing? Because again, I can only list within the last 10 years. I mean, because again, we could tell. I haven't seen strong acting in Hollywood. I'm talking about. I mean, maybe we're talking about somewhere in the '70s, and when you had the Marlon Brandos and the Al Pacinos and De Niro's and so forth. And again, Meryl Streep is a product of that era. So yeah, And I can go as far back as I don't know if you know this actor. He passed away in the 80s, but he was a phenomenal actor. He starred in a classic, one of my favorites, A Soldier's Story. Adolf Caesar.
Let's get to okay one. Let me shift gears a little bit real quick, because I don't want to spend too much time on this topic, because I know we're doing almost 30 minutes.
We'll cover it some other time. I get a little bit over that.
No. You're fine, actually. You're fine. But I just want to. Because I wanted to kind of put this one out there, too. Now, it still pertains to what you're talking about. It's still almost on the same level. But let me cover this real quick. This week's top 10 movies, by the way, you guys, what was the top 10 movies that made money? American Sniper was number one. Made, I believe, $90 million. The Wedding Ringer, speaking of Kevin Hart, made $21
million. Taken,
Taken, $14 million. Selma, you know, down to $5 and $8 million. The Imitation Game, $7 million. To the Woods, $6 million. And The Hobbit, you know.
Wait a minute. I wonder how Amy Pascal feels now after Kevin Hart has brung her in 20.
She doesn't care. She's still going to be the same.
She feels now. But anyway.
But I love how all that's been sweeped under the rug. Like it never happened.
Again, we could go into that, but we'll leave that.
But you guys know what, though? I'm shocked. The Wedding Ringer did better than I thought, though, being number two. Kevin Hart's a golden boy. I will say, he's a golden boy right now when it comes to comedy movies. Kevin Hart. But now, anyway, he's a golden boy. This is like 2 years straight that this cat. No, I'm serious for this. I'd be trolling. I could cook him, but I'm not. But, you know, he's had 2 years or 3 years, like, to think like a man. Yeah, Ride Alone, and then I think he has another one. It was stupid, though. Pain and Gain, not Pain and Gain, but this Pain movie with Will Ferrell that he's in. You know, he's just been doing a lot of movies.
Yeah, see, it looks stupid, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks dumb. Oh, I don't even support. I don't support none of it.
Listen, you know what? Listen, here's why I can't knock Mr. Hart at his hustle. This is why I can't knock him, man. He's getting paid for being, to actually essentially doing the same thing over and over and over. And listen,
exactly.
I can't, that's a master hustle. The fact that the people haven't caught on to it. And listen, he's having that crossover appeal right now. If Eddie Murphy, as he's considering Beverly Hills Cop 4 right now, please get Kevin Hart into the equation.
Oh, I
That is the ticket. That's the only way I'll support Beverly Hills Cop 4. Kevin Hart is on the ticket.
You could
bridge the gap with two generations right there. That's the money.
What'd you say, Cop 5?
No, Eddie Murphy said himself he don't plan on going back to Beverly Hills Cop 4 until the script is right, and he said that he doesn't want to do a bad movie just to collect a paycheck. But yeah,
let me ask that question. Let me answer that question real quick, you guys. Let me just say on the air, right here and there. This is going to be controversial. That means there's no Beverly Hills Cop 4 coming. And I'm going to tell you why. And K1 probably know, and this one will go, another actor did this with a popular franchise. And you guys guess who? Who said the same shit and saw the movie? It was Bill fucking Murray. Bill Murray said over and over for like a decade, we're going to do Ghostbusters 3. First, he said he wasn't going to do it. I remember for a long stretch, he said, he just wasn't going to do it. Then he kept saying the script. He played games until Harold Ramis died. And then when he died, you know, it's like, we can't do Ghostbusters no more. So anytime an actor says, hey, you know, we're waiting for that right script, you're not going to get a immaculate or perfect script. But, you know, if he's saying that, that means he's not interested. And he must be arrogant. I never love him. Don't get the twist. I am one of the biggest. And me and K1 was talking about this privately on the phone the other day about Eddie Murphy. But I love Eddie Murphy's movies. I love his 80s movies. I'm one of the biggest Eddie Murphy fans. But his ego is so strong, it's not funny. But the ego that Eddie has, he knows that Beverly Hills Cop is pop. And I can't blame him. I'm not saying that they should do a weak movie either. But when an actor starts talking like that, that means that's developmental hell. I don't want. And the two, Wicked Beverly Hills Cop, the show, by the way, that he was about to make, the pilot, that was a failure into itself. So
Eddie was filming that, and that failed.
Yeah, Eddie's backing out of it now. This is that time that Eddie just saying, fuck it, I need to back out of it. You know, and anytime somebody says that, you know, we need a script and all that, that means that they don't want to do it. That's just flat out. He's not interested in doing it.
Well, no, I'd rather him not do it than to have Kevin Hart come in there. Because the franchise, it, like you guys said before. No, but you guys said before, it's an 80s franchise. It's an 80s movie.
But that's how you contemporize it with Kevin Hart. You bring in, I mean, the reason why, again, the Beverly Hills Cop pilot obviously didn't take off. Yeah, it was garbage. Casting Brandon T. Jackson was garbage as the son of Axel Foley. Nobody was going to believe that. The production was in disarray. And Beverly Hills Cop needs a fresh reboot, kind of like, I hate to give you the example, but similar to what they did with Star Trek in 2008 and 2009.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of gave a soft reboot. It was a reimagining of taking something old and bringing some new concepts to it. Beverly Hills Cop 4 can do that, but because Eddie doesn't have the drawing power anymore and it's not the 80s, you got to proliferate the movie with, you know, what people would consider to be contemporary and cool. Now, again, Kevin Hart is the flavor of the month. I'll admit that, but he just raked in $21 million with Sony, a studio again that we don't want to go into the debacle with that is. But whatever the budget was, that's gonna be a profitable movie at the end of the day, you know. And listen, man.
Wow.
We'll see. I mean, I don't think Beverly Hills Cop 4 is going to happen because I think when it comes to, is that Paramount?
Yeah, right, Paramount. Yeah,
I think at the end of the day, you know, Transformers 5 is in the mix.
We know
what that is. Oh, of course.
And the last one made $1 billion. Why wouldn't they make more?
When they can keep the train, you got to keep it rolling. I mean, it's filth.
But who do we blame? Do we blame the audience for this?
No, I mean,
yeah, we blame the audience. Listen, what did I tell you guys many times? Let's California guys model. Money talks, bullshit walks. So at the end of the day, if you guys don't like a movie, the shit can't make no money. So we could trash these movies all day long. We could go at it. We could cook the movies. Everything else, but at the end of the day, motherfuckers is buying the tickets. They're buying $8 tickets. They're buying DVDs. So that's what movies is all about, consumers. So even though we have a problem with the material, people still buy it at the end of the day. They love it. So it goes by. Even a movie like Transformers, a lot of people say they hate Transformers. Shit makes money. That's the reality. It's not too weak because it gets that good revenue still. So they're doing something to keep that alive. Because if Transformers was really, really horrible, man, that shit would have been ended like almost a decade ago. Transformers has been out for nearly 20 years now. So it'll be about 10. It's been out since about 10 years. So if Transformers was really, really weak, that shit would have just went on hiatus. So it's about the consumer. So it's the people that we look at because they keep these movies going. Like me and Kevin have discussed many times, like with the Marvel movies, all these fucking franchises, it's all about the consumer. Consumer wants to see this shit. They enjoy the shit that they watch, and they go to the movies and droves. What's going to happen this year when the movies come out, like Star Wars, and what's that, Avengers?
Another debacle, but again, I've spoken much of that. The countdown begins because I'm going to eviscerate that when that comes out.
K1, you've been a worthy opponent for that, but, you know,
I hope somebody has a sound rebuttal for me because I'm waiting for that.
I'm waiting for
the next trailer to give me the meat.
Well, again, it'll happen. It'll happen. And I have faith in it, and, you know, we'll see what happens. I can't wait for that next trailer when I go see Age of Ultron. So,
yeah, I'm looking forward to another trailer too, with the movie. But you know, I'm not gonna get too deep into that until I really, really get another trailer. Then I can sort of say what my opinion is. But yeah, but it's at the end of the day, this is about consumers, what they want to watch, and so it's the people. People rush in. I mean, even though we kind of all this shit, it's the critics at the end of the day that really make or break these movies. I mean, not critics, the buyer at the end of the day, consumer. So, you know, if the movies start tanking, then they'll start getting a chance. Transformers has a tank, I believe. Transformers, every Transformers that came out has made money. Made a ton of shitloads of money.
Well, the last one didn't make as much in the United States, but it made more. It made most of its money overseas.
Yeah, that's pretty bad overseas. People think, but you know the thing is with fanboys, I know it's an online site. I'm going to say this real quick. A lot of these websites get that, and we debate this online and stuff, but they get these numbers sort of mixed up. They get that $1 billion number mixed up, or 800 million. And these sites and YouTubers and fanboys got to get these numbers right. You got to crunch the numbers when these box office totals. You can't look at like 1 billion. Because really, and me and Cameron have debated this many times. Me and Cameron have debated, I've debated with other people, how much $1 billion really is. Domestic, we're forgetting that domestic number, and we're forgetting the foreign numbers. And I think that's the thing that people got to address. Like if a movie makes over, like for example, a movie like Avengers made $1.5 billion. So I think they had the biggest domestic box office opening, like the first weekend. I think they went a couple of weekends domestically. And people got to understand the studios look at domestic numbers more so than foreign numbers. I'm not saying they disregard foreign. But the numbers when it comes to films are really based off of the domestic U.S. numbers. That's where the numbers come in at. And we tally it up based off of looking at all of it together, like the domestic, like if a movie's $1 billion, that means a movie must have made 500 million. How long did it take the movie in the U.S. maybe domestically in all U.S. territories in all the United States to accumulate the 500 million? Now, for, here's a good example. Say we come up with a movie. And the movie made, say, $200 million the first weekend. You know, it made like $200 million that weekend. But $150, let's say $150. Then the next weekend, it was number one. It scooped up maybe another $100 million. That's $250. And that's good for domestic numbers. And then you go another couple of weekends, it reached up to $500. So it depends on the pacing of the movie if it reaches up to $500. But if it spaces out, and it kind of it crossed to 500 million domestically. That's good, but it's not that great. It says domestically and basically, but that's good. Total numbers because it didn't flop depending on the timetable of the movie. Now, if a movie domestically could go maybe 700 million, that's good. That's damn good for a movie to go 700 domestically in the United States. And maybe it so that's why Avatar was so big because I think Avatar had those kind of numbers domestically. And then globally, it reached up and maxed out. So that's why Avatar is one of the highest-grossing movies in U.S. history. Because
again, a lot of that, like I said, a lot of that is accredited to, you know, multiple viewings, you know, word of mouth, critical fans. Like I said, $1 billion, not an optimal number. So yeah, from a studio perspective, you know, the movie has generated an abundance of money, but. Look at Avatar again is a perfect example. Even though it generated $2 billion, look how relevant it is today. I mean, it was considered for many one of the greatest movies of all time. Not to me, but had that kind of temporal impact. It had like a real significant impact. Now,
listen, Avatar's a failure. I'm gonna tell you.
I'm only bringing that up because I know there's sheep that's still out there. That still believes in the Dawn of Justice train, still believes in Star Wars.
We got how many minutes? I'm gonna let you guys have it. You guys can select some good topics, but go ahead with that.
No, well, listen. It's what it is, and Dawn of Justice is still heading is a train heading for disaster. Star Wars Episode 7 is still heading towards disaster. A lot of franchises, including Terminator, that's on their way off. Listen, the new year is a new year, but it's the same thing. I'm still on my grizzly, still on my grind, man. And I'm like, listen, a lot of them shits. I see it. Nobody.
Well, K1, let me say this though. You have so much. But yet you have faith in Age of Ultron.
I only have faith in Age of Ultron because again, Dave. Proven time and time again the consistency of it. Now, again, anything could happen with that. But I know that Disney has the minds of the sheep so far. I mean, Marvel has the minds of the sheep. I mean, you know, I hate to say Age of Ultron very well could be a piece of crap and still make $1 billion because they've Listen, they have a system in place that works, man. I can't see Disney replicating that same model with the Star Wars brand. I can't see that happening.
And I sure as hell
can't see Warner Brothers having any success with what they're doing because they're running around with a chicken like a chicken with their head cut off. They're grasping us, but they are reacting in every minute thing that their competitors are doing. Again, I stress the example. We just seen the debacle with Amazing Spider-Man 2 when you prematurely set up things for future franchises without putting emphasis on the story that you're trying to tell. We've seen the disaster that was. Now, granted, it's not that much of a bad movie to me, but the public responded negatively to that. So,
yeah,
what
do
you think is
going to... Let's talk about this thing. I'm curious to talk about this other real quick.
No, what I'm trying to say is that when Dawn of Justice comes out, right, if Dawn of Justice had came out this year, Avengers Age of Ultron would have had some, and along with Star Wars, Avengers Age of Ultron would have had some really serious competition. Batman v Superman is a monumental film, whether we want to admit it or not, regardless of how we think the film is going to turn out, it's going to be a monumental film.
I'm telling you because of the poorly execution of the brand. The thing is that, again, Warner Brothers, they put themselves in this bind. And California and I was just discussing this the other day about Harry Potter. They became complacent with Harry Potter and with what Nolan was doing with the Dark Knight trilogy. They were very complacent with that. Now, granted, like any studio, they was always looking to build new franchises, but they weren't in the business of making comic book-based films because they don't have a system that can treat that important. So that's ultimately why they failed. They failed not just because of Snyder and his foolishness and everything and the corporate bullshit that they're doing. They failed ultimately because it was never designed for. They don't have everything that they've been shown me. Again, it's reactionary. They those movies that they have planned, like I said, they exist only in name and name only. Wonder Woman just got canceled.
It wasn't even greenlit.
Yeah. Not postponed.
Okay, let me get this real quick, you guys. The Suicide Squad. I'm glad you guys said it. Tom Hardy getting fired, and J. Gyllenhaal might play Rick Flag. Thoughts on the Suicide Squad project for you guys?
Here's what I said. That's laughable, but that's just me.
J. Gyllenhaal. Well, let me say this.
I really don't think, I think they only threw that out there because, me personally, I think Tom Hardy left way before that, but they couldn't have it where Tom Hardy had left and they didn't have a replacement because then people would have started to get worried. Suicide Squad is the only thing that people is gravitating towards the most without being so negative towards it. I think that adding Jake Gyllenhaal in was kind of their way of saving themselves and saying, we took out Tom Hardy, but hey, we got Jake Gyllenhaal, and he was just in Nightcrawler. He's a great actor, But again, this is going to be a movie about Will Smith, Margot Robbie, and Joker. That's all people care. I only care about Harley Quinn in the movie. I don't care about Joker I don't care about seeing the Joker again because I want to see Harley Quinn because that's a character we've never seen before. But my point being is that Will Smith, as we all know, has an ego. He wants this to be all about him. And Rick Flag, Tom Hardy, look, he's an amazing actor. I think he's one of the greatest actors I've seen in a while. And he doesn't need Suicide Squad. He's got Mad Max coming out this year, and that's gonna blow up. And he's got other projects. I don't think it's gonna flop me personally, but I think it looks good. It looks
I'll leave that one alone. Go ahead.
Okay, well, we'll say that for another show. But I'm saying Tom Hardy doesn't really need Suicide Squad anyway. I mean, and he doesn't really, you know, he doesn't need a superhero movie. I mean, I think he can do all right on his own. He doesn't, you know.
So the thing is, what if Dawn flops? What happens to those other movies?
If Dawn flops, Suicide Squad is still coming out. And if Dawn flops, then Warner Brothers, they may still go for it. They may still go for it because they've already invested so much into these. They've made so many contracts with these actors. They put so much money into it. I mean,
Let me answer this question real quick to you guys. And you're absolutely right, Crossfire. If Dawn underperforms, let's say, I don't think it's going to flop, let's say underperform, which is a flop technically. What's going to end up happening is they'll do that Suicide Squad movie, but it won't be solo. They'll go directly in the Justice League. Now, I've said that for about 2 years. If Dawn doesn't really take off, then they'll have to go just into a Justice League movie. They won't do like
But K-1 has to think about this, though, is that I really don't think Warner Brothers cares critically how it does. They just care if it brings in the money.
Exactly.
They don't care about no critical acclaim or whether people like it or not. As long as it brings in close, it has to be a billion. Now, me personally, I think Dawn of Justice is going to be garbage. Story wise, it's going too much. It's all over the place. But I still think that has the potential to make $1 billion because of the fact that it's Batman v Superman going at it. You know, so Warner Brothers only cares about the money. They don't care about what people think of the movie. Because if they really did think about, if Hollywood thought about, you know, what people think about these movies, then we wouldn't have a lot of the movies we have today. We wouldn't be having no Transformers 4. But, again, it's all about money. It's politics. That's just the way it works. And Dawn of Justice is just another reason, you know, money grab for people, for them to get on the hype train with the, you know, comic book movies right now, because they know comic book movies is on its tail end of, you know, being outdated. You know, after Infinity War, comic book movies are just going to start to die down. You're seeing it a little bit with the reactions to Ant-Man, with the reactions to certain things in the comic book community. So I think that, you know, they're trying to get as much as they can out of this as they possibly can.
And you know what, Crossfire, I can't blame them as being a powerhouse of film, you know, studio. I can't blame them for doing that. But the problem is that they're not willing to set themselves up. I mean, I haven't seen anybody be real successful with this shared universe concept other than Marvel. Now people say that, you know, The Amazing Spider-Man 2 was a legitimate attempt at that. That was a legitimate attempt of a shared universe. I mean, you know, Mark Webb had to alter his entire plan, what he was doing with Spider-Man, in order to set up this Sinister Six concept, and it backfired because the studios thought, like, similar with what Warner Brothers think, that quantity equals success. And it doesn't, I mean, the audience is a little bit smarter than that. I mean, I give them that credit. They're a little bit more sophisticated than that. So,
well, again, with Amazing Spider-Man, I just want to put this out there. I'm a full proponent of Spider-Man going to Sony. Spider-Man going to Marvel, I think Sony has done enough. They've had 3 movies to try and fix what they, you know, to try and fix everything, to try and fix the character, but they failed on a massive scale, and I'm tired of seeing the character that I grew up with being treated this way. I really think that, you know, it's time we see him with other heroes. I think people, you know, like to see Spider-Man solo movies, but they also want to see him interact with, in this day and age, you know, superhero team-ups. That's what people want to see. I mean, why do you think Superman is being teamed up with Batman? He didn't do well on his own. That's why they're bringing Batman in. So, again, Andrew Garfield,
Here's the thing, though. It is an interesting point with that. First of all, it doesn't mean that that's the remedy for the issue. That doesn't mean the remedy for the problem. That's the same thing with Spider-Man, you know, being interacting with these other... And I, like I said, as a fan, I would love to see it. But again, it doesn't mean it has to happen right now, right away. I mean, you know.
Oh, of course, of course. I mean, they're projecting Infinity War. If he shows up in Infinity War, fine. I don't. That just as long as, you know, again, if he's in there, I think that'll be great. And again, people, people who are listening, Andrew Garfield ain't coming back. Usually, I'll just gonna have to face facts. He ain't coming back. That's it. He's done. You heard it in the Sony leaked emails. He's fired. He ain't coming back. I don't even think the guy wants to come back. Andrew Garfield is not bigger than Spider-Man. All right, Spider-Man is an iconic figure. You can put many people into his role. You know, so don't think that Andrew Garfield is bigger than the character of Spider-Man. That you need Andrew Garfield for Spider-Man to be relevant, because that's not true. So yeah, I'm all for Spider-Man going back to Marvel. If they use him in Infinity War, great. You know, that'll be great. So yeah, that's where I stand on it. You know, and again, people want to see these superheroes team up, man. People want to see these heroes interact. People just don't want to see a solo movie without it leading up to something in the future. You know, so yeah, that's true.
Well. I ain't gonna lie. You guys have everybody had a good point. I'm gonna close the show out. I'm thank you guys for coming on the show. K1 and Crossfire. It was a good show today that was done. And I'm telling the people that's listening to the show, thanks for listening in. If you guys are listening later, that's fine too. And I'm saying thank you guys. And shout out to Crossfire and K1 for coming on again. Oh, and happy birthday.
No problem.
2.0. And it's 2.0's birthday, so happy birthday.
Yeah, 2.0. Happy birthday, 2.0.
Yeah, so I'm going to greet everybody with peace.
Peace.
See you.